heard on the news about possible terrorist cells within the U.S. They tell us we may have had terrorists cross our borders illegally, but they never tell us what kind of threat we're actually facing. They use the scare tactics, and we never get any follow-up. Until now, I've asked Mr. David Yerushalmi to come talk about his Mapping Sharia in America project. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Yerushalmi.
Michael, first of all, it's great to be talking to you. And let me just say on behalf of myself and all of my colleagues that consider you a American patriot and a hero for your battle against care.
Well, we suspect there's a dangerous problem with sleeper cells in the country. Would you tell us what you and your organization, the Mapping Sharia Project, know about the realities of this? What exactly is the status of sleeper cells, that is, jihadists, people who wish to impose Sharia law in the United States?
The Mapping Sharia Project is essentially, we were looking at a problem. Everyone recognizes Islamic terror throughout the world. There has been a very important major study by the New York Police Department on the recruitment for jihadists here in the United States, and they looked at the recruitment of jihadists in Europe, case study after case study, and they looked at those that have occurred here in the United States. What they found was that the profile, what they call the pre-radicalization stage, was Muslim males between the ages of 18 to 35, wealthy or better than average income, educated, fully assimilated. They get to that recruitment age, they go off to university, they find a way to a mosque as they're leaving their parents' home, looking for their roots, and lo and behold, they find themselves in a mosque in front of an imam or other spiritual advisor who begins the process of what they called self-identification toward radicalization. And what does self-identification mean? It simply means that they begin to learn what it means to be a Sharia-adherent Muslim, meaning a Muslim who adheres to strict Islamic law. And that is the beginning process for the radicalization. And what we wanted to determine through the Mapping Sharia Project is what is the connection, what is the driving force behind all these jihadists? Is it some political ideology which is modern, or is it driven by a 1,000-year-old Islamic legal tradition which mandates Muslims engage in worldwide jihad? And that's the organizing thesis for the study. And what we do in particular is we send field agents, field researchers, men who are experienced in law enforcement, counterterrorism, and intelligence work, who speak Arabic, Urdu, or Farsi, Arabic obviously for the Arab-based mosque, Urdu for Pakistani mosque, and Farsi for the Iranian mosque. They go in as members of the public, as fellow worshipers, perfectly legal and above board, but they're there to collect data. And the data they collect, on the one hand, is to examine the level of Sharia adherence. How careful are the imams and the individuals in the mosque adhering to Islamic law, how punctilious, how orthodox they are. And then they collect other sets of data, which are measurements for how violent the teachings and the preachings of that particular mosque, the imams that are there, and the worshipers are. We get that information from a variety of sources, information they hand out, information they sell, answers to specific questions we ask, and all of this is recorded and put into a database. We have a very careful custody chain that we maintain for the evidence that we collect, and when we find very extreme calls for violence, we turn that information over to local law enforcement and federal authorities. The other information is put into a matrix, and it's ranked. And what we're trying to find is the correlation between Sharia or Islamic law, its adherence, and the level for the call for the destruction of the West, for violence and jihad against the United States and other Western countries. What we found to date, and we've covered approximately 100 mosques, and we're going to go to all 2,300 mosques and Islamic day schools in the country over the next year. But after covering 100, what we found is if you go to a mosque where the imam and or the worshipers are strictly adherent to Sharia, invariably, absolutely, you find calls for violent jihad. And it's in their literature, it's in videotapes, It's in speeches given after the prayer service. It's in private meetings with the imam. All of this material recorded when recording is legal and videotaped when it's legal. And certainly the material we gather from the mosque is carefully documented. What you find also in the few mosques where there's fully westernized, non-Sharia adherent Muslims, and the imam dresses in Western dress, doesn't talk about Sharia, but talks about America and patriotism and so forth. In other words, very low Sharia levels, you find almost no calls for violent jihad. The unfortunate thing that we have to confront is that the vast majority of the mosques that we see across the United States are built around Sharia, Islamic law.
Well, let's level here. What do the worst, the most extreme of these people wish to impose into the United States? If they had their dreams fulfilled, what would America be like?
Well, let's you know, use some names and some real examples. And if I were wrong, I could be sued, and we would defend it on the basis of truth. But we know, for example, that one of the more popular imams in the United States is Siraj Wahaj. His main mosque is called Masjid Taqlid in Brooklyn. He is on videotape telling African Americans that he's speaking to that they should not be out on the streets today with their Uzis and 9mm, these young men, but they should come in off the streets. They should get, quote unquote, righteous with Islam and then be sent back out armed and ready for jihad. So that gives you one idea. We have another, a Professor Shakir, who is on videotape. He's a very popular imam, has a PhD from some Western university, and he's held out as the exemplar for moderation. But he's on videotape telling young Muslim children that Congress is guilty of shirk, of being a polytheistic body, which is challenging the divine law of Allah, and that anyone who follows Congress and its laws are also considered mushrik. They're also considered polytheists. And the penalty for being a polytheist or advocating polytheism, that is to say, constitutional government, is death, burning in hell. Now, this is what they're teaching across the United States in private Islamic schools, K through 12th grade. So this gives you an example, both in terms of the radicalization of individuals being converted to Islam in Brooklyn, and Professor Shakir's work in attempting to educate a whole new generation of young American Muslims that they owe no duty to the United States, its constitution and laws, and in fact, worse than that, it is a crime, according to Sharia or Islamic law, to be patriotic and law-abiding, unless that happens to coincide with Sharia law.
How aware is the general public that this degree of Islamofascism exists and walks and talks amongst them?
Well, you know, it's quite obvious that very little, because what we find is once we've identified a violent or violent-prone mosque and we publicize that information, we have enormous feedback from the public and from local law enforcement. Local law enforcement don't realize the threat level in these mosques. But the problem is because we have not identified who the enemy is. We talk about Islamism, Islamofascism, Islamoterrorism, but what we don't understand is that the doctrine, the theological, military, political doctrine that drives all jihadists, all Islamic terrorists, is Sharia law. Sharia law is 1,000 years old. It's been very well documented over that 1,000 years. There are five basic schools of jurisprudence, and each and every one of those schools holds that the duty under Sharia of a Muslim is to impose Sharia law around the world. And you do that through persuasion, and if that doesn't work, you do that through subjugation. And if that doesn't work, you do it through violent jihad. That is the driving doctrine that shows up with suicide bombers, shows up with airplanes and into Twin Towers. That is the driving force that we have to confront. And until we confront that, that Sharia itself calls for our violent destruction, we'll continue to kind of bat at the air. Because the problem we have in the United States and elsewhere in the West is that we don't want to contradict President Bush when he says Islam is a noble and peaceful religion. Now, to say that Islam is a noble and peaceful religion is meaningless, because according to most Muslim apologists, Islam can be anything. Any particular Muslim could decide to be a peaceful, patriotic American or not. And that's true. But what we do know is that historical, authoritative Islam is driven by Sharia, Islamic law. And by the way, it is Sharia in the Sudan that requires a teacher who's dedicating her life to helping the Sudanese be whipped or imprisoned for having allowed children to name a teddy bear Muhammad. It is the same Sharia law in Saudi Arabia that allows a rape victim to be lashed and whipped 200 times for having the audacity of even making a claim that she was raped. It is Sharia that allows Iranians to bury women to the waist and stone them to death. That is the law. Anywhere it is in place that leads to the brutalities and the attack on every Western sensibility that exists.
Mr. Yaroshalmi, your work is extremely important for the safety of America, and I wish you and your team the greatest success in the battle we all face. Thank you for your dedication to this country.
Michael, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it. You have an excellent program that is informing Americans about the very real existential threat that we face with Sharia, i.e. Islamic law. Thank you.